From Illinois Public Media News, this is 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. It's Friday, January 19th. Coming up, we'll hear a conversation with financial aid experts to learn more about what students and families can expect from the free application for federal student aid. That story in just a few minutes, but first, these headlines. The University of Illinois Board of Trustees voted yesterday not to raise tuition for in-state undergraduates who enroll for the first time in the fall. System President Tim Killeen said in a statement, "Freezing tuition is one of the most impactful things they can do." While next fall's freshmen at the U of I will see their tuition stay the same for the next 4 years, their room and board will increase. For instance, new students in Champaign-Urbana will pay 5% more than existing students. New out-of-state and international students will see tuition increases of up to 2% at UIUC. Graduation tuition will also go up. The university system says 67% of in-state undergrads get some kind of financial aid. It also says in-state tuition has stayed the same for 7 of the past 10 years, despite inflation. As the death toll in Gaza surpasses 24,000, more and more people in Champaign County are looking to their local officials to take a stance. The Urbana City Council has been flooded with emails and lengthy public comments after one resident proposed a ceasefire resolution. And Wednesday night, an Urbana resident asked Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski for her stance during a telephone town hall meeting.
I do think that because of the Republican leadership in the House, and the dysfunction, we have been unable to move humanitarian aid to Gaza. And that's something that I definitely want to see and would be very supportive of.
Budzinski says she believes in the need to get humanitarian aid into Gaza, but the Springfield Democrat says Israel is, quote, one of our strongest partners in the Middle East and has a right to defend itself. Chicago teachers say they need more funding to help support newly arrived migrant children. Michael Puente reports.
About 4,000 migrant children have reportedly been enrolled in CPS, including about 100 at Cameron Elementary in the Humboldt Park neighborhood. At a roundtable discussion at the school today, teachers said the district needs more English as a second language teachers, and the children need winter clothes. Randy Weingarten, who is president of the American Federation of Teachers, says the immigration system does need fixing.
But in the intervening moments, this school and this school system and this city are trying to deal with being team humanity.
Weingarten says the Chicago Teachers Union and the school district need to work together to come up with solutions. Michael Puente, WBEZ News.
Still to come, we'll hear a conversation with financial aid experts to learn more about what students and families can expect from the free application for federal student aid. That story is coming up next on 217 Today.
It's 1968, and the nuns and nurses from Nonnatus House return to the East End of London. The midwives welcome a new nun, Sister Veronica, as tensions arise following the impact of Enoch Powell's Rivers of Blood speech. Friends of WILL can rewatch and binge all 8 episodes of Season 12 to get ready for Season 13's debut in March. Find out how you can enjoy extended access to captivating dramas at will.illinois.edu/passport.
You're listening to 217 Today. I'm Kimberly Schofield. The free application for federal student aid, or FAFSA application, underwent significant changes this year and was delayed months. Now that the application window is finally open, Peter Medlin talked with financial aid experts to learn more about what students and families can expect.
Leanna Davis says this is by far the biggest FAFSA revision she's seen during her decade plus in higher education. She's the executive director of financial aid at Rock Valley College. There are a lot of important changes to this year's form, but the most substantial is that the Department of Education overhauled the formula for how financial aid is calculated. Davis says it used to be based on a student's expected family contribution, or EFC. Now it's called the Student Aid Index. Here's an example example of how the old expected family contribution would work.
The government would say, we anticipate that you'll spend 11% of your adjusted gross income on medical expenses. And I think now they're just taking a better snapshot of the actual numbers. They're also pulling the information directly from the IRS.
That's also a major part of the new FAFSA. Whereas previously, students might have to manually enter tax information or go through a tricky IRS tax retrieval process, now most of that information is automatically uploaded into your application. That means for many students, this year's application will have fewer questions and will be quicker to fill out. Sol Jensen is the VP for Enrollment Management, Marketing, and Communications at Northern Illinois University. He says the lowest that the old expected family contribution could go was zero. But with the student aid index, students with substantial financial need can have a negative number.
You know, with a population of quite a few students who are lower income and have a high financial need, we're still not yet sure how that's going to impact a lot of our students.
More students are expected to qualify for federal aid with the new FAFSA. Some studies say hundreds of thousands more students will be eligible for federal Pell Grants. That could mean a net increase of over $7 billion in Pell Awards, according to the State Higher Education Executive Officers Association. Jensen says that institutions aren't positive how that will affect the awards a student actually receives.
I don't know if anyone at the federal level has approved a massive increase in the Pell budget.
He says through the fall and winter, they've had students come to them with questions about the new process, but they haven't always had answers.
The institutions have been somewhat blind to the real ins and outs. Now, we knew what some of the major changes were going to be, but we didn't necessarily know, and still don't necessarily know, how that's going to impact other aspects of the awarding process.
Both Jensen and Leanna Davis expect the new formula to be a good thing for students in the long run, but Jensen says that some students could see their financial aid go down.
There are also a couple of changes about assets for small businesses, assets for family farms, and those will have a bit of a negative impact compared to what it was.
Students with more than one family member enrolled in college might see decreases in awards or eligibility too. And there are other positive changes. The application is now available in the 11 most commonly spoken languages in the U.S. as opposed to just English and Spanish. Also, students can now automatically send their FAFSA information to up to 20 colleges instead of 10. For Illinois students, Jensen says to try to submit your FAFSA as soon as possible, preferably in January.
We are being told from the state that they would like to have everything in by February 1st for students who had previously received MAP grants. And again, I think they are concerned about the changes here and not knowing how it's going to impact and if we're going to have a lot more students eligible where the state may not be able to fund all of those MAP grants as we have in the past.
And even though the application itself can take less than a half hour to fill out, the process still takes a few days. Davis says that's because dependent students and parents or guardians have to create FSA IDs, which can take a few days to be approved and ready to use.
They all have to have their own FSA ID, and they all have to provide consent for the IRS to move their data. That's going to be a big change for people that they're not used to seeing.
Jensen also has advice on how to approach the process.
I would encourage students to do it first, because when the students do it, they can put in parent email addresses. And then after the student completes it, then it'll email the parent. And really all they have to do is click a link and then complete the rest of the information.
Even if students don't think they'll qualify for aid, Davis says you should still apply because you might be eligible for other opportunities.
You don't have to be eligible for federal aid to be eligible for, say, federal work study.
And she says if the new system, delays, or waiting rooms have you stressed out, you are not alone.
Everyone's in the same boat, right? Like, we're all a little bit behind, which means we're not behind at all.
Students have until the end of June to finish the FAFSA, although Davis says to complete it as soon as possible so you have as much time as possible to make decisions. And students wrapping up their FAFSA now probably shouldn't expect to see their award package until the spring. If they have any questions or concerns about their application, students can also reach out to the financial aid office at the colleges they're applying to or the school they currently attend. I'm Peter Medlin.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says today will be cloudy and windy with a high of 14 degrees, blowing and drifting snow possible, especially in rural areas. That's it for today. 2 and 7 Today is produced by Stephanie Mosqueda. Reporting today contributed by Emily Hayes, Michael Puente, May Antar, and Peter Medlin. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Kimberly Schofield. 2 and 7 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again on Monday. Have a great weekend.